Welcome to Right Damn It with me, Zoe Richards, your host for the podcast that's all about books, writing them, reading them, and getting our heads around getting the writing done. Episode 97, and today we're talking voice. Now, voice is one of those things that we hear talked of a lot, isn't it, when we're writing? But actually, very few people seem to explain it. Or at least, I've found very few people explain it in a way that I've grasped it for myself. So I'm going to make a little bit of a stab at this, but I'm making no promises that by the end of this episode, you are going to be any wiser in terms of how your voice comes out in your own writing. Because one of the things about voice is that we need to experiment until we've found it. And even then, once we've found it, our voice evolves, it grows, it develops with us as a writer. So I know I've now found my voice as a writer, but I also know that in writing book 2 version 2.0, I am actually growing that voice, I'm developing it, it's turning into something that is more of my style, my approach. So let's understand, first of all, what we mean by voice. I think it's important to understand that there are two different sides to voice. On the one hand, there's the author voice, and then on the other, there's the character voice. They are not the same thing, and it's really crucial that we keep hold of that in our minds, that the character's voice does not define our voice as a writer. Okay, so what is voice for us as a writer? Well, it's how the writer expresses themselves. So it's what makes it so that we are unique in the way that we're writing. It's our unique tone, our word choices, it's the personality that comes across on the page, it's the sentence structure as well. You can also find it in some choices that are made by writers as to whether they're going to write in a very formal way or they're going to write in a humorous way, whether they use irony or sarcasm. Maybe they've got a comfortable intimacy in the way that they... I've actually just read a book where it really does feel as though I am sitting there talking to a friend and I'm listening to that friend talking. There's such a comfortable intimacy to that author's voice that it's almost as if I can hear her voice in my head. I've never heard her talk, by the way, so I don't know what she sounds like, but I've made that voice up and I know it's distinctly hers. And it could be that it's a voice that uses rich imagery. When I think back to Tess of the D'Urbervilles and the Mayor of Casterbridge, Thomas Hardy's writing, it was a kind of writing that I know I could never emulate or even choose to engage with as a writer. I loved reading Thomas Hardy's books, but I didn't love that whole attempt at trying to write in his style. So I do think it's important for us to first of all understand what that author voice is. What is it that's making our voice unique? It could also, by the way, be energy and pace of your writing. So some people write in a way that makes it feel as though it's a page turner, a quick read. And incidentally, a quick read isn't necessarily an easy write. So a quick read, an easy read, when you see that kind of thing, it's easy to think that that is simplistic writing that I'm not going to want to read. Actually, that's taken an awful lot of skill to create something that is an easy read, a quick page turner. So that author voice could have a number of factors in it. And through that, it's our personality that comes out. I know when I shared my first sentence of book 2.0 with a colleague, a friend of mine, another writer, and her words back to me were, "Now I'm hearing Zoe's voice. That is your unique voice coming through again." Now that's really important for us to know, because actually, once somebody points out to us, that's your unique voice, we then start to recognise, oh, that's what it is then. Now, as you get further on in your writing journey and you're working with editors, it's really important to still keep hold of that unique element to your voice. And Emma Claire Wilson, who is a good friend of mine and who's coming on the podcast in a couple of episodes, she said to me that we do need to be really careful when an editor starts working on our manuscript, because they could actually erode that unique element of our author voice, and we need to make sure we're holding on to that as the editor works on our novel with us. So it can be diminished, it can be taken away by an editor, and we need to make sure that we don't lose that unique voice, because if we do, we've lost something of the story. So the author voice then is how the writer expresses themselves. What about the character voice? Well, that is, very simply put, how the character expresses themselves. And that could be based on their class. So in the UK, we're very focused on class. We've had that as being something that we've all been brought up with. It's around us all the time. So class is going to define the voice of a character, the upbringing, the school they went to, the time of life they're at. A child is going to have a very different voice to an elderly person. A man will have a different voice from a woman. So we do need to be thinking about who is this character and what makes them the person that they are. I think another interesting one as well is to think in terms of the needs of the character. Do they have a need to be liked? So I know that I have two accents that live with me. I have a Lancashire accent and a Scouse accent, and I can switch both or either on. I can also switch between the two in the middle of a conversation as well. Neither are terribly strong, but they're both there. And I do think that when I was younger, there was a need to fit in with both of my parents. My mum's from Plymouth, but she chose to develop a slight Lancashire accent when she came up here. And so I find that when I'm talking to my mum, I can go a bit more Lancashire, but when my dad was alive, I'd talk to him and I would talk more Liverpool. I was giggling to myself recently because I was on a group coaching session with Sarah Moorhead, who's from Liverpool, and she's got a Liverpool accent. She was asking us what questions we had. I put forward my question and I was giggling to myself afterwards because my Scouse accent became stronger just because I was talking to somebody else from Liverpool. Whereas when it was Mark Stay, who was the person who was doing the coaching, who's from Kent, no way did I sound as Scouse. So it does come out. And that's something that can happen with our characters, that they can change how their character voice comes across dependent on who they're talking to and whether they're wanting to be liked or whether they want to fit in with other people. Maybe they're somebody who is supercilious or a misogynist. It's getting to understand what is the makeup of this person. And perhaps they've had some trauma in their past, and so that trauma affects their character voice. I find it quite useful to think about, how would a character say hello? So they walk into a room, there's other people there. Will they even say anything at all? Will they just give a smile, a tight-lipped smile? Will they say, hiya, how you doing? Or will they say something that is a bit more formal? So, oh, hello, good morning, how are you doing today? Or something like that. So think about how they say hello. If they were to swear, you know, they bang their big toe against the bed leg, and they want to swear. Are they going to say, oh, buckets? Or are they going to say something completely different? Or are they going to just go, ow, 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 ow? So they might say a complete swear word. They might change a swear word. I used to think that my mother was saying something else when she used to say, oh, for crying out loud. Apparently, that was exactly what she was saying, that she was saying for crying out loud. But I am convinced that there was something else that she was toying with bringing out. So you can see here that with our character, if we use things like how they say hello, how they say goodbye, how they might swear or not swear, what kinds of ways they say things. So Hunter, who's a character in Garden of Her Heart, he's ex-military and he is very clipped in the way that he talks. So his sentences are shorter and sharper until Holly gets to know him a little better. So it's thinking about, what's this person's background and does that actually impact on how they say things? Lorraine, another character, has a warm, honeyed voice, and so she behaves and speaks about things in a warm tone, with warm ways of communicating with people. So we can change the way that people say things because we now know them and understand them as a character. You might find in the first draft that the character is not formed enough in your mind in order to be able to change the voice from one character to another. But as you get into doing more rewrites, you will find that that character voice becomes much clearer to you. At the moment, I'm struggling with, in book two, version 2.0, 2.0 with one character, Morgan. I don't think I've quite got to know her yet, so her voice is unconvincing right now. And I'm not having a way in which this is very clearly, I don't have to say Morgan said at the end, because actually it's very clearly Morgan's voice. So that's the character voice, but I think it's important that we get into more about the author voice so that you can think about how are you going to develop your author voice. Now, something that I found at the time, actually, I think I got quite annoyed with myself. Looking back, I found a really useful way of trying to find what my voice was. And that's that I went through a variety of phases. So I had my Jane Austen phase. I'm sure you know, for example, the Jane Austen voice. And, you know, just as an example, the sentence I think we all probably know off by heart. It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife. And, you know, that is one of those sentences that tells us straight away this is Jane Austen. I think another good example is with Charles Dickens. With Charles Dickens, we've got the, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times. I have in the past been able to quote the whole of that opening paragraph. I can't do that for you today. But again, that's one where we know very clearly that's a Dickens voice. So I went through my Jane Austen phase. It was a poor phase, by the way. I went through my Maeve Binchy phase. It was a diabolical phase. I went through my Philip Pullman phase with his Dark Materials. I went through my Clive Barker phase. Who else have I gone through? Oh, I think I've done my Marion Keyes phase as well at some point. You know what I'm getting at here, that we all go through, and if you're not doing this, it's worth doing it. We write in the style of another writer. And the reason I think this is really helpful to do this is that it helps us to start identifying what is it that is their voice. And I didn't really get when I was doing this in the past that that's exactly what I was doing, that I was experimenting in such a way that it was helping me find their voice, which helped me to understand voice in general for a writer through experimenting with their voice. So have a play at writing in other writers' styles. This is not about copying. So if you decide that you're going to write in the voice of Agatha Christie, I'm not saying that you go and copy and now you become an Agatha Christie style writer. Or if we bring it up to date, you write in the style of Richard Osman. I'm not saying that becomes your writing style. Rather, it helps you to experiment, to understand what their voice is, and it helps you to start finding your own voice. As part of that as well, a second good tip would be to read outside of your own genre, but to read and read and read. Just read as much as you possibly can. Don't give up reading because you're writing something and don't want to be seen to be copying. This is about practicing. This is about developing your skill. And when your voice becomes your voice, when it becomes obvious that this is the voice you write with, you won't be copying that writer anymore. You will be writing in your own way. So keep reading. Don't stop reading. And read, you know, even if you don't read the whole book, read a few chapters of books that you wouldn't ordinarily read. So then when you get into doing your own writing, there's another tip that I think is a really helpful one. And that's write a paragraph. And then having written a paragraph, start playing around with it. So there's a musician, and I want to use him as an example because it's something that musicians do a lot, but this particular musician has done it with huge success. So Scott Bradley is a pianist, and if you've ever heard of Postmodern Jukebox, if you've not heard of Postmodern Jukebox, where have you been? But Scott Bradley did this thing where he would go to parties and people would name a song and say, play it in the style of, and they'd give him a style that he had to play it in. Or he would say, I am going to play everything tonight in a 1940s style of music. What do you want me to play? And they would give him songs that he would play. And he would just almost rewrite it. Well, not almost. He would rewrite it at the keyboard and he would play it in the style of a different era. Postmodern Jukebox has become internationally famous and hugely successful off the back of this process. Many musicians will do it. So they will take famous songs. Hotel California is a good one as an example, where people have taken Hotel California and then done it in their own style. And they will find what their own style is by singing it, for example, as if it's a 1930s song. Sing it as if it's a rap song. Sing it as if it's heavy rock. Sing it as if. And so they will do a what if process. And it's that kind of thing I want you to do. Obviously, I'm not saying now write your novel in the style of a 1960s novel. But what I am saying to you is to play around with your creativity. So take a single paragraph that you've written and now write it in different ways. So write it as if the narrator has just stubbed their toe. Write it as if the character has just fallen down three stairs. Write it as if the character has just been told that they are having a baby. Write it as if the character has just been told they've got a book deal. Actually, I think that one's far better than having a baby. That's me personally. So, you know, and it could be that, you know, write it as if a character is rushing, they're late for a train. It could be that they are in a cafe and they are writing, they're speaking as if they are imagining somebody who's in the other side of the cafe, and it's their life that they're telling the story of this person across the cafe. So what you can see here is that it's all about trying doing this one paragraph, writing it in different ways. You can also write it in different genres, by the way. Write it as if it's a thriller. Write it as if it's sci-fi. Write it as if it's fantasy or romantasy. Write it, you know, if you're a romance writer, maybe write it as if it is a psychological thriller rather than romance. Now, this isn't about changing the genre you write in. This is about experimenting with a single paragraph to help you practice and find what your own tone is, what your sentence structure is that you like, what the way is that you play around with human character and human condition. So if you are specifically interested in the darker side of people, do you write that darker side of people in a different way when you're writing it as if it is a rom-com than you would write it if it was a horror? So this enables you to find out who you are, and it enables you to find your voice. I know that sounds as though it's a strange exercise to play with, but it's one that I think you'll find is quite simple and easy to do, where you are then able to see how the same paragraph can come across as something completely different for you. And through that, I hope that you will find what your voice is. So it's a way of expressing your own voice, but it's also a way of being creative, having some fun, and just playing. And I do think at times we forget to play with our writing. If you've not yet found your voice, then going through this process of being able to understand who you are by writing one paragraph in different ways will be invaluable to you. I would also suggest you use a similar technique with dialogue. So when you're playing with character dialogue, write the character's dialogue as if they are angry. Write the dialogue as if they are happy, ecstatic. Write it as if they're bored. Write it as if they've said this a million times, and why is nobody taking any notice of them? And see how differently the words come out because you're using a different emotion to inform the words that come out of the character. Does it help you to find the voice of that character better? If you do know your characters well, just jot down as a reminder what that thing is that's happened in their life that makes them who they are today. It's often said that who we are at five is who we are as an adult. So who was that five-year-old? If you know that already, or if you know that they had something traumatic happen to them, then jot that down. Jot down something about their class, the kind of school they went to, whether they passed any exams, did they go to university and get a degree, all of that kind of stuff. Are they military? Are they somebody who is working corporately? Are they somebody who works in the creative world? Whatever it is. And then knowing and reminding yourself of those elements of this character, now start writing some dialogue. The other thing I think is helpful when you're working out the, dialogue between two characters is to remember that you're looking for some element of conflict. So what's the conflict that makes these two characters have a different voice? Because they will come at this piece of conflict from a different angle. We don't know what's in each other's heads, and so we can't possibly know what the other person we're talking to, or what the other person the character is talking to, is thinking. So that's what creates a bit of conflict. The final thing I want to say, just as a note that's important to keep in mind, is that author voice and character voice are not the same as point of view. So point of view is whose character's story is this? Which character that you've created is this story about? Whose eyes are we looking through in order to know what's going on? Whose head are we in? So the author voice is absolutely not point of view. The character voice is not point of view either. But the point of view is about which of those characters with a voice is this story being told about, is whose eyes we're looking at what's going on. So there we go. I hope that helps you to think a little bit more about how you can develop your author voice. Gives you some tips, gives you some things to think about as well. So as you're doing your writing, may the words flow for you. I hope you have some happy times writing, and I will see you on the next episode.